Please be seated. In place of the usual homily or sermon this morning, this is my address for the annual meeting. I am required by canons to give some basic facts, and then I will go off from there. From the parish register, there were three baptisms this year. All were infants. One, confirmation. Four, reaffirmed their commitment to Christ. There were six communicant burials and four non-communicant burials. There were no marriages. There were 43 Wednesday services, 106 regularly scheduled Sunday services. There were also 9 special services, like Christmas Eve, Holy Week, Ash Wednesday, etc. 2012 has been a year of continued growth, changes, and challenges at St. David's. I'd like to first begin by giving thanks to many people. First of all, to Ellie, Yael, and Ross. Ellie's not here. We all know where Ellie is, so she'll be hearing this by tape. She fell on Christmas Eve and had to have surgery on her femur, so she's not bearing weight for a few more months. But Ellie has been a great senior warden and confidant in ministry. Ross, likewise, as junior warden, has excelled. I've actually dubbed a name for Ross, and George Guerrero and Jerry Simpson are kind of the three musketeers of anything having to do with this building. And it has certainly kept them busy this year. Thanks again to Dudley, our primary evangelist, through his work on the website, and getting all the sermons and teachings up and posted and out there for the world to know and hear. Thank you. Many thanks go out to Gloria Spruill. Gloria is our tireless treasurer and clerk of the vestry. Gloria's taken over all of the bill paying and is doing much of the posting of our financial records. Her faithful commitment to serving God and this parish has taken a huge load off my shoulders. We are in the process of streamlining our financial processes and accounting, and things are going well. In 2012, we began doing our own payroll services through an online payroll savings, saving the parish additional money, providing easy access to online bill paying. And she and I share a standing commitment to pay all bills on time and maintain a zero balance of our accounts payable. I'd like you to remember two numbers. In 2011, our total income was $166,015. Our total income for 2012 was $197,966. Thanks to many new givers and people stepping up to the plate, financially, we have raised our combined total income substantially. This is due in part to great stewardship on the part of the parish, and also a commitment of the vestry and myself and the leaders of the parish not to touch the endowment fund. Since I arrived, we have not taken one penny from principal or interest. And as a result of the shrewd investments of our trustees, Tom Atkinson, Ricky Vaughn, and Courtney Yell, the endowment fund now stands, again, I'm going to give you the 2011 figure, was $799,803. The 2012 year-end figure, $907,875. Your rector and vestry remain committed to running the parish on pledged income and do not touch principal or interest for any reason. In the spring, we added a new concrete sidewalk coming in from the parking lot and brick paver parkways through brick paver walkways through the Memorial Garden and the Sisters' Garden, generously paid for by the Memorial Garden Fund. A thick layer of new mulch was added campus-wide, not only to cut down on weeds, but for a safer, cleaner appearance. The building and grounds, Three Musketeers, George and Ross and Jerry, also facilitated many projects around the church. All of the old leaky sliding glass doors are gone, replaced by new storefront glass in the church, the glass triangle above the altar, many lighting and electrical problems that continue to surface inside and outside the church, and this has greatly enhanced our safety for nighttime services and meetings. Again, all paid for from the operating fund. We undertook an extensive repair of our irrigation system to better meet the needs of the Memorial Garden and parish plantings. On the music home front this year, we added a new MIDI interface to the organ to enhance our music and provide additional voices and flexibility for the organ. Thank you, Dick, for all your work in dealing with quality music at St. David's and also overseeing the acquisition of that project. Again, from the operating fund. In the spring, we also replaced our 11-year-old copier with a new one that dropped our operating costs drastically. Our new copier for toner and service runs a whopping $40 a month compared to our last copier that cost us over $5,000 a year. We completed our second regular audit of our financial books thanks to the audit committee of Ellie Yell, Gloria Spruill, and Judy Eberly. We have taken almost all of their suggestions to heart and are implementing them. During the summer, the vestry agreed with my request to suspend Wednesday evening services to give me a breather and the ability to be away for greater periods of time. This was not met with open arms. And I am sad to say that decision resulted and the direct loss of two families from St. David's. The vestry voted to hire a nursery worker for Sunday morning. We hired Cheryl Rosenberg, a friend of Vicki Zawadzki, to care for our toddlers. Thanks to a lot of hard work and elbow grease by our senior warden, Ellie, and her husband, Courtney, the nursery was moved and spiffed up in its new location. During the summer, I held the first inquirers class that drew great interest and five people being confirmed or reaffirmed at Bishop Brewer's first confirmation visit to St. David's. The Outreach Hospitality Committee has been very busy and is the largest committee in the parish with 17 active members, overseeing the spring flea market, the fall auction, and Christmas sales. Last year, they raised and gave away over $12,000 for various outreach projects. I'm also quite proud of our church vestry for adopting an Anglican missionary in Bolivia, the Reverend Tammy Firestone, whom we continue to support for $200 a month and pray for her on a regular basis. Our new scout troop under the leadership of Steve Zawadzki has also been doing great things. They have competed in a major scouting competition and came up first place in the area. The church gave the scout troop $500 to help them buy a trailer to store their equipment. They've had a spaghetti dinner, sold popcorn. In case anyone's interested, they're taking pledges for a walk for life. And Stephen, raise your hand. You can see Stephen if you want to help out with that project. I'm also beginning communication with one of our scouts who hopes to make his Eagle Scout project a new street sign for the front of the property. which he will design, raise money for, and construct himself. To top it all off, in 2 weeks, we are going to be honoring our scouts, both past and present. You're encouraged to wear your uniforms, if you can still get into them. All scouts, past and present, are encouraged to wear their uniform. And if not, just bring one of your next pieces. I'm also honored to be presenting the Scoutmaster in 2 weeks when I will baptize him. One major thing that has happened this year is that the church has made a commitment to provide health insurance for Lenora and myself. This enabled her to stop working last December, and I have greatly appreciated that gift. This has truly been a year of getting our house in order, creating and revising job descriptions, and basically settling in. It's nice that I am no longer called the new guy, the director. We have said goodbye to some folks who have moved, Jenny Pino and her family, Joanne Stone, who has likewise relocated to be closer to family. We've also said farewell to several pillars and saints of the church in 2012. Jim White and Norma Butler, Jay Martin, Mickey Holland, Frank Romano, and Bob Flanagan. But we've also welcomed many new people and families who have decided to call St. David's home. The church basically grows and thrives when we bring in more people each year than we lose by death, relocation, or folks shopping around at churches for a better deal. All of this has been exciting to me as your rector, but it's also shown me how much I need you. In the summer, when I had my shoulder surgery, which I will remember fondly, and with my recent fall of unexplained origin, I've realized that it's much healthier to work smarter than it is to work harder. One such example was this past week, I decided it was time to move things. Typically, what I would have done is do this after hours in the quiet of night so as not to disturb or upset anyone. However, I went on Craigslist, found 4 strapping young oxes who decided to take on the challenge. And in 8 hours, we accomplished with 4 paid movers and a host of volunteers who were just incredibly helpful, what would have taken weeks and several hernias to accomplish. In part, at the incredible number of people who have stepped forward to help staff the office and take on projects that are necessary for the well-being and vitality of the church. I especially want to thank Des Wassel. Des, where are you? There you are. When I announced that we were going to be embarking on this new trek, Des came up to me and he said, "I need to organize that for you." What a gift. And he's new to the parish. Several others have stepped forward to do filing, organizing, computer work. We're going to finally have a parish registrar and a church historian. Things that we should have had all along in ultimately getting our house in order. But all of this can only be accomplished when we each do our part. In the annual address, one of the things that I often do is share with you some hopes, plans, dreams for the future. This year, it's relatively simple. Number one, I'm going to take better care of myself, and I need your help in doing that. I am not the most disciplined of people. And I had discovered that with age comes inability. So I am committing to you that I am going to take better care of myself, and I want you to help hold me accountable. Rob, that doesn't mean me learning how to put contact lenses in. I've given up on that. Everything else is open game. If you see me eating an extra cookie or drinking too much Coke, please be blunt. I've also resigned from all of the diocesan committees and commissions on which I've served, except for one, the Congregational Development Committee, so that I can continue to focus my time and energies here. Number two, the sacristy will be completed this year. It has been in utter disarray for almost 2 years, and it's time that this project shift to high gear. We have funds set aside to complete the project, and this must take a much higher priority. I'm also presenting a list of projects to the vestry, the new vestry, to put on my wish list. I'm going to share that with you so that if you agree with me, you can tell vestry I'm really in favor of that. If you feel differently, feel differently. First, we need to pave a part of our parking lot. I have watched on Sunday, on Wednesday, the difficulty of our aging population physically getting into church. The uneven ground, walking through grass, is posing additional threats to our membership. By simply creating a paved parking strip from along the water's edge, that will enable us to create a safe vehicle for people to get in and out of the church. I also plan to support and encourage the Eagle Scout project with a new sign out front to finally get rid of things that we've been holding on to for way too long. To give you an idea of some of the things that we discovered in cleaning out all the cupboards and the closets, if you visited St. David's in the 1950s and signed our guest books, we still have them. Covered in mildew, they are still here. Let's get rid of the things of the past that don't mean anything and hold on to the things that do. There's just a lot of junk that needs to leave. And finally, I believe that it is time to repaint the church inside and out, starting to look a little tired and worn, and the effects of living this close to the ocean. I plan on presenting not only this proposal to the vestry, but also to tell you as a parish, we don't need a penny from you to fund them. We have in reserve, without touching the endowment, excess operating income that will pay for them all. That is due to your generous giving and support of this church and this ministry. It is my deep desire that each of us reflect on our stewardship of what God has given us and use it best for His glory. So, in the coming year, with the new vestry in place, it is my hope that you will see these projects and perhaps others ticked off the box. In closing, I want to share a story that Joan Gleason shared with me, that when her husband Tom was on the vestry almost 20 years ago, the subject came up of replacing the leaky sliding glass doors that no longer slid. And Joan and I were having a conversation, and she said, how much did that whole project cost? And I said, $12,000. And she said, my husband was on the vestry pushing for that 20 years ago. Why did we stop? We stopped because somebody stood in the way. Somebody told you, you can't do it. Or it's not possible, or it's not feasible, or we need to save the money for a rainy day. Let us not move into the future with such a perspective. We have the resources. We have the ability. Let us reflect the health of this congregation by having a sound fiscal plan and also ministries adequately staffed and functioning on a high level, that we may present to the Lord the best that we have to offer.
First of all, thank you all for coming. Do I have a red light? I have a red light. Yes. Okay. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you have given the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. Bless, we pray, with his grace and presence, we your people assembled in your name, that your church, being preserved in true faith and godly discipline, may fulfill all the mind of him who loved it and gave himself for it, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This is the duly called meeting of St. David's Episcopal Church, Inc. Yes, we are incorporated in the laws of the state of Florida. The first item of business that we have to take care of is vestry election. Please listen to this. These are people who are eligible to vote. Communicant members of the parish who are 16 years of age and over, whose names are duly enrolled as such in the register of said parish, and who for the previous year have been faithful in corporate worship, unless for cause prevented, and have been faithful in working, praying, and giving for the spread of the kingdom of God, are entitled to vote on all matters coming before the parish for a vote, including the election of vestry members. The vote of no person shall be questioned unless his or her right to vote shall be first challenged by a qualified elector. In the event of such challenge, the right of such person to vote shall be passed upon by a committee of three appointed by the rector. We're not going to do that. You get the idea. So basically, if you are 16 years of age or older, I think that covers all of us, you are eligible to vote. I'd like to explain just a tiny bit about the parish register. The parish register is the way by which most churches record membership. I do say most because that is not the case here. Peggy Guerrero has accepted the challenge of creating a parish register. Why is this important? Well, because half of the vestry who are currently serving on the vestry name are not in the parish register, and this does not seem to have been a big issue in the past. I'm not going to make it a big issue in the future, but we are working on creating a correct parish registry. So one of the things that Peggy's going to be doing is that if we don't have any record of you in the parish register, you may be getting a phone call or an email from Peggy saying, could you tell us where your letter is, or do you want to transfer your letter or your membership here or whatever, so we can duly record you. We will make two attempts to find you. If we can't find you, then miraculously the church in her wisdom came up with a way for us to accept you by affirmation. So if you can affirm that you were ever baptized or confirmed, we will take your word for it. But if you have accompanying certificates, we will really believe you. So we're going to try and get the parish register sorted out. And you may have noticed in the past in the directory, there's members and friends and all that sort of stuff. We're going to try and do away with that kind of thing. Because right now, most of the members of St. David's have gone on to glory. I.e., there's not been a whole lot of record keeping. So that's who are eligible to vote. If you're here, if you're over 16, as far as I'm concerned, you can vote. Persons eligible to serve as a warden or a member of the vestry have to be 18. Again, I think we're okay for most people. Entitled to vote on matters coming before the parish or mission. The reason you have to be 18 in the state of Florida is that there are times when the vestry signs legal contracts. And in the state of Florida, you can't sign a legal contract until you're 18. So that you can vote at 16. You can't be a vestry person until you're 18. A confirmed communicant in good standing. No person employed or engaged by the parish or mission, nor the spouse or immediate family member of any person employed or engaged by the parish or mission, except for the rector or vicar, shall be eligible to serve as a member of the vestry. So, like, Lenore could never be elected. I don't know that she would want to be, but she would not ever be eligible to run. You get the picture, okay? We have nominees up on the board that have been previously nominated. I would now like to ask if there are any other people who would like to put their name in nomination. Tom.
Make a motion.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So moved. We have gone to great lengths to have pre-printed ballots, basically known as the corner of your placemat. Okay. So all you have to do is write four of those five names. And you can just give first names if you would like. Yes, sir.
Would a motion be in order to declare by acclamation all five elections?
Well, except I have been corrected that we actually need four instead of five. Okay? It totally changed the whole picture. Okay? So if you would write down, first names are okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, good point. Why don't we have everybody stand up because you may or may not know them. Okay, Jerry Ayers, it's right here. Lou, it's right here. Alex is here. Gigi Bender is here. And Bill Hare is right there. Okay? So now you know everybody.
Here, you can have her bowl.
Hey, Jerry, when you see the smoke coming out of the exhaust, just let up a little bit.
You saw the light. I put out an A1E. It wasn't my dad. I'll have a
somebody to count them, and why don't you and Ross and Jerry count them?
Jerry Ayers?
Jerry Simpson.
Oh.
They're outgoing vestry people. So, you still have another year. Good, they're doing the election right now. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good.
You're doing my best.
How's she doing? She's doing great. Absolutely wonderful.
Is she home yet? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's home. She can't walk for 2 months for any load, weight, or anything.
I need a mallet.
Last call.
Lenora.
Tell her I got some batter.
I will. Thanks, Sharon. Four of those five. The counters are Jerry Simpson and Fricky and Ross. Ross and Jerry and Fricky. Okay. Moving right along, I have received a couple of reports that will be printed in a enlarged edition of the FYI next week. We've had a little trouble communicating between the network and the computers. So when we moved everything, the bulletin and some stuff was previously printed. So it was like, oh, well, that's why you don't have a printed agenda. So I apologize. As I talked to you briefly during the my report to you in the church, we ended up the year with a total income of just a hair over $199,000. That is a substantial increase coming into next year. We typically have, like the first year I was here, I think there was like 138,000 in pledges, and then we have a lot of people who are givers of record. A giver of record is someone who gives, and some people even every week, but they don't actually sign a pledge card. And so when we take the pledgers and the givers of record, that's basically how we come up with our budget. The vestry, and this is partially my fault, I will admit it, we never actually adopted a budget in 2012. And it's okay to do that. When you don't adopt a budget, you simply operate on the previous year's budget, which is what we did. Coming into this next year, our pledges have increased from, I think it was $144,000 last year. We're a little over $160,000 in pledges, plus the givers of record. So we're looking pretty close to right at the $200,000 mark, which is a substantial increase, you know, in this parish's giving. So you are to be commended, yes. And a part of what this has enabled us to do is you're saying, well, you keep doing all this stuff and spending all this money. Where is this going? It goes into a surplus operating account that we call a cash management account. And at the end of each year, all the excess income that comes in goes into the cash management account. After the new vestry is sworn in, what basically will happen is we will come with a reconciliation figure to the vestry, and we will say, we have X number of dollars that we want to take out of the cash management account and put into the endowment fund. The church has approximately $200,000 in other funds that are not in the endowment fund, that are not being invested. So what we're going to do, and a part of this whole consolidation process, has been to capitalize on that uninvested income, and we're going to turn that over to the endowment fund people, not to become a part of the endowment, but to become managed funds that are then invested. I think that's kind of rocket science, but anyway, so we will be turning an accounting of that money over to the trustees, and they will continue to invest that alongside with the endowment. So what we did last year is we kept a flat $30,000 as a cushion in the checking account, and then at any point during the year when you're running a zero accounts payable, all you have to ask is what's the checking account balance, and you know exactly where you are. So just to give you an idea, we started the year with a $30,000 checking account balance. We had one prepaid pledge for 2013, and our checking account balance this year at this time is $109,000. So, of course, we have that money that needs to be dumped out of the checking account, and this will all be explained to the new people on the vestry. But that's basically how we are operating and doing the things that we're doing. But I do want you to know that we're going to be better stewards of your money and investing that in the future. Financially, we are in good shape. The other thing that I wanted to give an opportunity to do is to allow people to ask questions. I don't want to take the whole time. I think one of the good things to do at annual meetings is to give people an opportunity to ask questions. Anything that I can answer, I'll be happy to, or there may be other people in the room who will know the answers. So does anybody have any questions about anything?
We love y'all.
Linda?
I'm curious about the committee reports.
Okay. Yes, the committee reports will all come out together, whatever ones I receive, and it'll be in a kind of expanded FYI next week. We did receive the outreach report's about a page and a half, and, you know, because I really, you know, when you consider that our diocesan pledge is right around $18,000. It's 10% of our pledge and play. So $18,000 goes to the diocese. $2,400 goes to Tammy Firestone, our missionary in Bolivia. We've given another $12,000 through direct outreach grants. And then there's also the discretionary fund, which is funded by your gifts to the discretionary fund. Whenever I get money from a funeral or a wedding or stuff like that, I put that in the discretionary fund. That is audited by the senior warden each year. That's another $7,000 to $8,000 that goes out. You can see that a significant amount of money is being given to others to really foster, you know, the gospel message. And I think, you know, to go where we were to kind of where we are is staggeringly commendable. So there's a large number of people in the parish who are truly committed to this and willing to work for this, and that's all in the right direction on my book. So yes, ma'am, Jerry.
This was just handed to me. We used to have Episcopal Church Women of St. David's, and I think I heard you say you'd like to get it started again.
That is true.
What do we do?
One of the things about...
we have money. We just don't have a group, you know.
Okay. Let me say something about ECW, okay? I think ECW went through, that's Episcopal Church Women, by virtue of being a woman in the parish, you're automatically a member of it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, getting the publisher's clearinghouse mail. You don't ever ask for it, you just get it. Okay? Well, anyway, the ECW in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was kind of the workhorse of the church. You know, they were there, they were always behind the scenes, they were doing all the potlucks and all that stuff. We actually worked the ECW to death. And I'm not saying that's what you did here, but historically across the country, that's what we did. Okay. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that the ECW's primary function was fellowship. The ECW's primary function was fellowship. It wasn't being the grunt cheap labor for the church. And so, yeah. We should have changed the name, ECS, Episcopal Church Slaves. You know? But one of the things that I've discovered, especially since, you know, people have been volunteering in the church, thank you, office, is that a lot of people really enjoy the socialization of being around each other, and, you know, that I think the need for that has resurfaced. I think it needs to take a drastically different function. It's not to compete with Daughters of the King or anything like that. But if there are maybe three or four women who would be interested in being a steering committee of how to get an ECW started and to come up with a model that would be applicable to St. David's, absolutely, I'm all ears. But please understand that I won't let you be the ECS, okay, because that's not the role. So if you want to get together and do something like that, we've watched the Men's Breakfast Fellowship blossom. We've actually grown out of Barrier Jack's and might have to start finding another place because they won't let you move the tables. All these rules, I tell you. That's why I'm an Episcopalian. We challenge all rules. But anyway, So yes, I would be very interested in that, and if you're remotely interested, talk to Jerry. And I didn't say you would be in charge. You could at least be a point person to get the conversation started. Yes, ma'am.
And we do have over 700
First alternate. Yes. Okay, that is exactly true. One of the things, and again, those ballots that we spared no expense in printing, we need to hold on to those, so I hope you didn't throw them away.
Did you throw them out?
Okay.
Just put them in the basket.
Huh?
Just put them in the basket.
Okay.
The
basket. I actually need them. It is true, boys and girls. I'm sorry about that. We have to hold on to them for a year in case the election is challenged. You see, we have rules for certain important things like that. Doesn't matter what you believe, but, you know, by golly, you got to hold on to those ballots. So basically what happens is the election of a vestry person has to be by plurality. So you have to get over 50% of the votes, or we would have to have another election, which we're not going to. Although very close, the persons elected, not necessarily in this order of popularity, but on my paper, left to right, are Jerry, Alex, Gigi, and Lou. So, Bill, you will be the first slot that opens up. Will automatically be yours. But I have other things in mind for you as well. I feel that if you offer yourself for leadership in the church, we should definitely do that. Okay? Thank you. You know? Yes. I am almost done. No, go ahead.
Before everybody runs out and heading to the funeral or where you need to go, if you brought something in a dish, we have left the dishes on the table. If you can pick those up because we need to fix the tables. We're not going to take these dishes into the kitchen. Okay? Just pick them up before you leave.
Okay. I guess we're done for this part. So what we will need to continue and communicate will be done down the line. Voting matter that needed to be dealt with that we have not dealt with, the new vestry will vote in your place.